What's harder to get rid of than termites and hurts more than a toothache? Hi, I'm Rob West. A certain group of people will tell you it's a timeshare. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now it's just another budget buster. I'll give you your options for getting out of a timeshare today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, you steady listeners know it's a question we get fairly often, but I want to go into a little more detail today. How do I get out of my timeshare? You actually have several options, although none of them are great. In a perfect world, you'd sell your timeshare for enough to get your money back. That's not going to happen. If anyone has done it, please call us because we'd love to hear how you did it. Seriously. Now, just why is a timeshare so difficult to sell or get rid of at all for that matter? Well, for most potential buyers, it lacks a clear need. You can book a week at a similar resort anytime you want without a huge upfront cost and monthly fees. So there are few customers out there to buy your timeshare. Also, let's face it, timeshares have a significant public relations problem. Most people don't like the high-pressure sales tactics typically used by the companies that sell them. So timeshares in general have a badly tarnished brand image. Before you attempt to sell your timeshare, you should get all the information you can about the process, and the best source we know is the Timeshare Users Group, or TUG. You can find them at TUG2.com. That's T-U-G, the number 2.com. This is a community of timeshare owners who offer advice and share their experiences. The membership fee is $15 a year, and it's probably well worth it. Now, if you try to sell it on your own, you need to have a realistic idea of what it's worth, and that's almost certainly a lot less than what you paid. Next, you'll have to advertise, and TUG has an online marketplace that's probably the most active site you'll find for buying and selling a timeshare. But you can also try eBay, Craigslist, Facebook, and newspaper classified ads. Once you find a buyer, if you find a buyer, you'll need to write up a contract that specifies what each party must do and what they receive from the transaction. It would be wise to get an attorney to draw up the contract. Okay, let's say you've been unsuccessful in selling your timeshare. If you've given up hope for getting any return on your money, you can simply ask the resort to take it back. It's called a timeshare deed back, and if the resort agrees, it's an inexpensive way to get rid of it. You'll probably need to have paid the entire cost of the timeshare, which could run around $24,000, so that would have to be a last resort. Your next option is to use a so-called timeshare exit company. This one can be tricky because there's a lot of scams out there. You'll want to find one with a track record of helping people get out of their timeshare and be sure to ask for referrals. There's one more option for getting out from under a timeshare, and that's to go with a contract attorney. You want to find one that's experienced in getting folks out of a timeshare. It can happen because these companies don't always keep their end of the bargain and are found in breach of contract. Now, you're probably wondering what some of these options might cost you. If you're able to sell your timeshare, you'll probably have several hundred dollars in advertising fees. You'll also lose the difference between what you paid and what you'll sell it for, which will likely be substantial. If you go with a timeshare exit company, costs often start around $5,000 and could go well over $10,000. Hiring an attorney could cost you nearly as much. Now, here are some of the don'ts. Don't go with any timeshare exit company that makes extravagant claims that they can get you released from your timeshare for a low cost. If the company asks for payment up front, head for the door. Also, don't go with any company that suggests you do anything illegal or, in our case as believers, anything that would dishonor God. Here's another don't. It might be very tempting to just stop making payments. That will result not only in being endlessly harassed by the timeshare company or some collection agency, it will ruin your credit and may result in foreclosure. You've also signed a contract, pledged your word that you'd pay this money, and the Bible is pretty clear about your obligation. In Psalm 327, it reads, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." So as I said, you have a few options for getting rid of a timeshare, but the easiest way of all is not to buy one in the first place. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
There are some things every athlete has in common, regardless of their sport. They've had to learn discipline and perseverance, how to push through pain, get past discouragement, learn to compete mentally and physically, and they've had to learn how to overcome their fears. I've always found it fascinating how many New Testament writers use athletic language to describe the Christian life. Hebrews 12 talks about the race we run and tells us how to run. It says we do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So today, if you're weary, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get daily encouragement for your walk with Anchor Devotional. Try it out. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The Bible teaches that God established the standards for right and wrong when He laid the foundations of the world. But America's politicians and policymakers have recently become self-appointed authors of moral law. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares the dangers of America's moral deterioration and outlines how we should respond. Join us all this week for Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. If you want to talk timeshares, we certainly can, but anything else is in play, whether you're living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. We want to tackle those questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Now, I mentioned in that opening segment that if you have a success story, perhaps something to share with those who are looking to get out of a timeshare, if you have a story to share that is your how-to on how you've done that, give us a call, 800-525-7000. And it sounds like Ray has one of those stories in Florida. Ray, did you get out of a timeshare? Well, looks like...
God bless. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. You weren't with us there for a moment, but you are now. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning. God bless. I listen to your show very frequently. And I did get out of a timeshare, Hilton Grand Vacation Clubs, and I'm also military, so this may make a difference to some people, but it applies. One of the problems was we were using it, but then they started changing the rules on how to use it. We didn't like that. And then I found out that when myself and my wife pass away, it passes on to the my children, no matter whether they want it or not. They have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. I did not know that when I bought it. So that was the main reason I got it. I wanted to get out of it. Yeah. So I went to one of the timeshare exit companies, and they were very expensive. And the gentleman happened to mention during the call, he said, well, why don't you try asking Hilton yourself? And he said to me, they won't do it, but you can try asking them. So I went to Hilton and filled out their form. And my situation was, I have a military disability, and it had just recently been upgraded and increased my disability and some issues I'm having physically. And I went to them and said, look, you know, I cannot use your facility the way I could when I first purchased it. Yes. Because of my disability, and I would like to get out of it. And they went through the whole process. It was very time consuming, took about, I guess, 4 or 5 months, and it didn't cost me anything. And I got all the paperwork, and it was just, the deed was just transferred over in Orlando back to Hilton Grand Vacation Clubs mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. So my comment would be, a lot of people get older and they have physical ailments and things like that. And some of your listeners may be in the military and have a disability as well. And these disabilities may preclude them from using the timeshare the way they wanted to when they first bought it. And that would yeah. be an exit that I would recommend. So that's my story, and it worked very well, and we're very happy to be out of it because my kids are no longer obligated.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Ray. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. We're very grateful. Second, you're exactly right. You know, this is not a common practice. And think about it. You know, these companies are trying to sell new timeshares. They don't want a glut of timeshares coming back to them that they need to turn around and find a buyer for. And so they're not incentivized to do this, but it does happen. And clearly, in your case, this was successful. The official term for it is called a timeshare deed back. And essentially, you're deeding back the timeshare to the original seller, in this case, the Hilton Corporation. And it's certainly worth asking, because if you're looking to get out of these, and unfortunately, so many people are, and it really gets to the heart of the matter, which is that timeshares are so often sold and not bought. Meaning nobody goes out looking for a timeshare. You end up at, you know, one of these timeshare kind of showcases, if you will. They're very compelling, and they put a hard sell on. And oftentimes they'll say, you know, you got to act now or you're going to miss the opportunity. And so often we make decisions. And even if we enjoy it for a period of time and it suits us well, as you said, you know, things change. Kids grow up. We may want to vacation differently. You know, you may have bought these years ago where, you know, Airbnb and Vrbo were not even existent. And now it's just so easy to go and find a destination that we want to go and find a place to stay. And, you know, having the flexibility beyond something that's kind of predefined from a menu of choices, I think is more suited to the way most people like to vacation. But it's a great story, Ray, and I appreciate you being an encouragement to our audience today. Thank you for calling. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Again, that is 800-525-7000. 7,000. Let's go out to Tennessee. Hi, Bruce. How can we help?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking the call. I have a whole life insurance policy. It's 40 years old now. It's $100,000. And the cash value now is at $18,086 or so. And the lady that sold it to us years back, she's not selling it now. She's retired, but she told me before I turned 65 that I should do something because it's really going to eat the cash value up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just wondering, we're not in debt, you know, everything's pretty much good, and I was just wondering what we should do with the money. And see, I'm paying on this every month, and my cash value is going down every year, and I was just wondering if I could put it into something else.
Yeah, very good. What did you say is the death benefit on that, Bruce?
It's the death benefit is $118,086.
Okay. And the cash value is what?
It's 18,086. $86.
Okay, and that's declining, and often it does because so much more of your premium, if you're still paying premiums, is going toward the mortality expense just as you age. And do you need this death benefit? I mean, would there be a hardship placed on, you know, your wife, assuming she is the beneficiary, if you were to pass away?
Not really. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Not really.
All right. And what are you paying annually in the way of premiums?
I'm paying $840.36 a year.
Oh, a year. Okay. Yeah. And that's why, because obviously.
Monthly, I'm paying $70.30.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So. Paying. $800 a year. Very good. Yeah, so you're not paying a whole lot, and obviously their mortality expense to ensure your life as you continue to age and pay out this $118,000 is getting more expensive, so that's chipping away at the cash value. So eventually this policy would collapse. So I think you're in this unique season where, you know, life insurance may not be necessary any longer. You have assets. You've lived modestly. You've built up and accumulated assets throughout your working years. And so the ability to reclaim this $840 a year plus the cash value, which is declining, I think is a great opportunity for you just to collapse the policy and have them write you a check. The question is, what do you do with it at that point? Are you kind of fully funded on your emergency fund, Bruce, that, you know, 6 months plus worth of expenses?
Yes.
All right. And so do you have something else in mind as you think, I mean, if you were to pull this $18,000 out, what would be your next highest priority just based on the plans you and your wife have?
One thing I want to know, see, I've already paid taxes on this money. I didn't know how that would affect me getting it back out. It's already taxed money, you know, because I pay it every month. I was just wanting, like, if I should put it in an annuity or something like that, you know, just take the lump and put it in that, and then something I could add. I wouldn't care to keep paying that. Premium, just put it into that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 So you're probably right. I mean, typically, you know, the cash value grows tax free. I mean, there might be a certain situations where you'd owe taxes, but typically not. So, yeah, I think the option is either just invest it in a traditional investment, like a good balanced mutual fund with stocks and bonds, or you could drop it into an annuity and get a guaranteed rate of return. They're not all created equal. There's a lot of fine print there. So if you need some advice on that, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor at faithfi.com. But I like this plan of pulling the money out and redeploying it. God bless you, Bruce. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We started today on the program by talking about timeshares. You know, one of the most common questions I get on this program and have for years is, how do you get out of a timeshare? So often folks, maybe in the early years, enjoy the timeshares, but as they age, as their life changes, they increasingly, once they've paid it off, become frustrated with the limitations on them and just these ongoing maintenance fees into the future. And so they find themselves in a situation where they're looking to get out of it. It's very difficult to do. I haven't found a timeshare exit company that has ever been reputable enough to even get close to recommending it. I'm not saying they're not out there. I've just never found one. And it's just challenging to get rid of these. We'd love to hear if you have a story about how you either have successfully or unsuccessfully navigated this in your own life. Let's head out to Virginia. Ed, I understand you have a story to share. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I do. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Just wanted to say I had a timeshare in Virginia. The only way that I got out of it was my wife passed away a couple years ago. I called them. Told them that I would no longer be able to make the payment. They had me do a deed in lieu, what it was called, and I paid the maintenance fee for that year. And then I got a letter that came back, said that everything was paid in full. I no longer owned the timeshare, and I got out of that one. Now, I did have one in St. Thomas by the Marriott, and I did have to hire a lawyer for that. I got out of the timeshares. It was expensive, but it was less than what it would cost for maintenance fees for the rest of my life and then my children. So
yeah,
I got out of that. But the issue that I have now, and maybe you can help me with this, is St. Thomas keeps sending me for back taxes for that property.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. I went to the law firm that I dealt with, and they keep telling me, don't pay anything. They'll take care of it. Well, this has been going on since 2019.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to offer any counsel there. I think it really comes down to both the attorney that, you know, is representing you with regard to getting out of the timeshare and getting that deed transferred out of your name, and then whether or not that involves any kind of cancellation of taxes owed. Obviously, getting a tax professional involved in that is going to be really helpful. And so that matter really does require a professional who can represent you in both instances. But I'm excited to hear that you were able to negotiate something that ultimately, even though it was expensive, and I'm so sorry to hear about your wife's passing, but I am grateful that you shared your story, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to some of the folks out there today. So, Ed, we appreciate it. Let us know how that turns out, but thanks for weighing in on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's go out to Texas. Homaro, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. I'm calling because I just recently retired about 2 months ago, and now I'm waiting for my first Social Security check to kick in. I'm 66 years old, and I have, through my job, I accumulated $500,000, and I don't know, under TSP?
Yes.
Thrift Savings Plan?
Right.
And either I start drawing it or do I invest it? I'm not sure what to do with it.
It's a great question, and well done, sir, on you working hard and obviously living modestly and being able to accumulate a nest egg there. Have you put together your retirement budget, Homaro? Basically, what I mean by that is, you know, often as we transition into the next season of life and whatever God has for you next, it will change not only our income, but our expenses. You know, most people in retirement, depending on what they're doing, will live on between 70 and 80% of their pre-retirement income. Maybe you're out of debt now. You know, you're not eating out during the day as much, you know, with work lunches, and it changes your clothing budget. Maybe you drop your life insurance because you don't need that anymore. So have you worked up a budget? And if you have, what kind of gap will exist between what you need every month and what you're expecting to receive from Social Security, if any?
Well, between my wife and I, we'll be getting $4,300
a month.
And our house just got paid off, so that's good. And
congratulations.
Thank you. So we need maybe like $3,500. So we have a little bit to spare. And like you said, now we're not even out and just stay in, decent living.
Yes.
But now the $500,000, I can start withdrawing it. But yeah. I'm not sure if the right thing or not.
Yeah, I don't think so. What I'm hearing is just on Social Security alone, you guys will have as much as maybe $1,000 or more extra every month. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless the Lord leads you otherwise to do some giving or something like that, I'd just leave that money right there and let it continue to grow. And here's the reality. You may need it for something else down the road, and you want it to be there if you do. Most often, what's going to happen in this season of life is you might need some sort of long-term care. 70% of Americans 65 years and older will need long-term care at some point in their lives, and it can be very expensive. And if you don't have a long-term care insurance policy, which is also very expensive, but if you don't have one of those to kick in and pay for that, you could be coming out of pocket for that. And full nursing care could run $10,000 a month. Having this nest egg continue to grow and be there if you need it down the road, I think is a good thing. The key is, how is it managed? It's been in the TSP. So what I'd recommend is you interview and select a certified Kingdom advisor to not only work up a financial plan for you, but to take over the management of the TSP, but rolled into an IRA. And then he or she can deploy an investment strategy that's very conservative to first protect it, but then to grow it. And the way you'd find a CKA on our website is just going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a Professional. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. I've got to take a break, but back with more questions right after this. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talked to Pastor Barry Stegner about how things are all coming together. Do we have signs of the times going on? Yes. And on overdrive, how can you alert others to the fact that we just might be running out of time as we look up and await his return? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Georgia. Hi, Marie. How can I help you?
Preacher, I am 76, and I do not know hardly anything about investing. I had $25,000 in a very conservative group that managed the investments for me. However, they've said I've got so little now that it's cost me a good deal for them to manage. So they have simply left it in Fidelity. Now, I have another company that I have $50,000 in that they were, and that's all I've got. They have handled me for 30 years and done a good job. And I did not, and they are my advisors for the investment.
Yes, ma'am.
I did not know if it would be safer for me to diversify and keep it my $25,000 Fidelity, or if I need to roll it over and give it back to the company that I've been with longer that does have an advisor.
Yes. I like that second option, Marie, and here's why. I would rather this not just be on autopilot, just kind of sitting there. I would rather know that somebody is overseeing it. And the great news is you have a trusted long-term relationship that you've been very happy with. And I don't think it's inappropriate for you to have, you know, all of your money there with one advisor. I mean, often, you know, folks will have, even with portfolios of millions of dollars, they'll have it all with one advisor or one advisory firm that's giving oversight to it. So I think given that you've got the trusted relationship, given that no one is overseeing it currently with it at Fidelity, it's just kind of sitting there. I would much rather know that, you know, all of your assets are being overseen by somebody, that there's a focus on preserving what you have, but continuing to grow it modestly to offset the effects of inflation. And it's great that you already have that trusted relationship in place. So I would go with that option if it were me.
Oh, God bless you. I cannot thank you enough. I've been very concerned about this. I appreciate you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Absolutely, Marie, and thank you for your call today. We appreciate you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. You can call right now. Let's go out to Oklahoma. Hi, Paula. How can I help you?
Hey, Rob. I was just wondering, I got a disability Social Security settlement, and I'm wanting to know what I should do with it. It's about $60,000. And also the extra, I guess, the insurance that they take out, Medicare automatically. I don't need it. I have insurance from my
a pension that I have. Do I just keep, is there any way you can not pay that, or does it drop off at some time?
So with the disability settlement, do you have an emergency fund, Polo, that's already in place?
Yes, I got about $30,000 in a CD, and then I have about another $35,000 in Fidelity.
Okay.
I have no debt except for my house payment.
Excellent. And how is that $30,000 at Fidelity invested? Is it just in money market or stocks and bonds?
It's in Timothy. It's a Roth IRA. It's in
okay.
Timothy.
Yeah,
and that's
great.
What I was wondering what I should do with all of it. And
yeah.
I'm single. I don't have kids. I'm
okay.
taking care of my mother.
Yeah.
So
excellent. Well, that sounds great. And in terms of the mortgage, how much is left on that?
120, and it's
okay.
at 3.35%.
Okay.
It's only
yeah.
$800 a month.
Very
yeah.
good. And are you still contributing to the Roth IRA?
Well, how can you do that if you don't have earned income?
Well, you can't. Yeah, so that's a good point. So you're okay. you're fully retired.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
got it. All right. Yeah, so what you would end up doing then, if you didn't have some other purpose for it, because you're completely debt-free except the mortgage, I wouldn't necessarily put it on the mortgage, because it's not going to help you any in terms of you got to pay it off in full in order to get rid of that monthly payment, and you still got a good ways to go there, and you got a low interest rate. You can't contribute to a retirement account because you don't have the earned income. So basically what that would leave is, unless there's something else that as you kind of think and pray through it and consider your values and priorities, you know, like giving or something like that, I would either just use it to boost even further your emergency savings, especially since we've got very attractive interest rates right now on high yield savings and CDs. Or you could also put it with Timothy, great mutual fund, faith-based mutual fund company, but you would just be in a taxable account instead of a Roth IRA, which would mean that, you know, as they buy and sell, you know, you could buy a Timothy fund and just hold it. You wouldn't have any taxes until you sell it, but at least you'd have it working for you. So I'd say, depending on how conservative you want to be, either go, you know, with the CDs and the kind of higher yield savings or only CDs, or go ahead and open a separate account with Timothy and just get that invested separate from the Roth IRA, and at least you'd know it's working for you. Hope that helps you, though, Paul. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Gary. How can I help?
Yes, my question is, I was just calling about, I got about $300,000 in my TSP.
Yes.
And I got a call from USAA about wanting to, I guess, invest that money in a retirement annuity.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, I mean, I don't know what to do with it. I was just wondering, is that a good idea to just put it in a because I'm going to retire in probably about another year.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea to put it in an annuity and just get a return off of that?
Yeah, that's not my first choice, Gary. I mean, what I would do is just make sure that you're choosing among the TSP options. Do you know how that money is broken down, the $300,000 right now among the TSP options?
Well, it's in a G fund right now.
So, all of it's
I guess,
the G fund?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would probably, you know, here's the thing. Even though you're close to retirement, we still need to take a long-term perspective on this. And the reason is because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you may need this money to last another three decades or more. And the way we do that, given the fact that inflation is eroding your purchasing power, it means this money will buy less every month as the prices rise. We want to make sure this money's working for us. And, you know, that G fund is the most conservative fund. And so, you know, if right now, what is your age?
60. I'll be 62 next year.
Okay. So at 60, I mean, again, you're the steward, so you need to make this call. But, you know, I would typically say you'd want a 50-50 portfolio between stocks and bonds. And so that might mean, you know, in the TSP options, either you could use an L fund, the life cycle fund, or you could do it yourself by putting maybe half between the G and the F, the government and the fixed income, and then the other half, you know, perhaps in, you know, the
probably a little bit in the international and then the rest in the common stock fund, and maybe a smaller portion in the S fund. So mix between the C, the S, and the I between the other 50%. That would be the way I would go. And then once you retire a year from now, then I'd be looking to hire an advisor to manage this for you. And you could start interviewing for that right now, but you'd wait until you separate from service to roll it to an IRA. You can find a CKA on our website at faithfi.com. Hope that helps you, Gary. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back with much more.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our heart for you is that God would be your ultimate treasure, that you would see God as your true treasure, and that you'd manage His money, because that's what it is. It all belongs to Him. You'd manage it in such a way that it's obvious that God is the delight of your heart. And so that money would become a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It wouldn't compete with God for first position in your lives the way I see it can as I read Scripture, especially the parable of the sower. You remember what choked out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return, as Jesus explained to the disciples, was the deceitfulness of wealth, among other things. See, the world would tell you that the things that money can buy can fill that God-sized hole in your soul that longs for abundance and fulfillment that can only be found in Him. But when we understand that God is our true treasure and that money is a tool to accomplish His purposes, well, it frees us up from being envious and being, you know, having that covetousness and greed in our lives, and can allow us to use money in a way that honors the Lord. Now, we have to make daily practical decisions, and that's where this program comes in. We want to reinforce God's worldview, God's perspective of money management. We want to give you practical ways to make those decisions and then just encourage you along the way. Now, what we do here at Faith and Finance every day is only done by your listeners support, because we're a listener-supported ministry. We're grateful for our partnership with American Family Radio, but the support of this ministry in part is from you, the listener. And as we head toward the end of our fiscal year, which is just a few days away on Sunday, June the 30th, this is a really important time for us to close the gap in the remaining funding for the year. Now, we're getting there. We said at the beginning of the month we needed just $50,000 in order to reach our goal, our listener support goal for the entire year. We were just 50,000 away. Now, at that point, somebody, some generous donors stepped up and said, we want to encourage you to complete that goal. And to this point, we've had 24,000 come in. So we're about halfway, and we've got about 5 days to go the rest of the way. So if you've found value in the program, you've benefited from it, maybe you've been able to apply something you've heard, or you've been encouraged in listening to the broadcast, and you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance before June the 30th, this would be a really critical time for us to hear from you. It's real simple to do. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. And a gift before June 30th of any amount would be a real blessing to help us finish the year strong, reach our goals, and prepare for another year of ministry. Again, that website, faithfi.com. Just click give, and thanks in advance. All right, let's round out the broadcast today with your questions. We'll get to as many as we can. Let's go out to Oklahoma again and talk to Janet. Hi there.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a question about CDs. I am not familiar at all with them. My mother just recently passed away, and I have CDs now because of her in two separate institutions. In one institution, I'm drawing 4.2% for a year. The other one, I'm drawing 5.5% for a year. And I just need to know, and I have like 70 more thousand that I want to eventually add to those CDs when they mature.
Okay.
Or go a different direction. And I don't know anything about stocks. I've never done them. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if CDs is the way I should go.
Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with CDs, especially right now, because as you point out, you can get some pretty attractive interest rates. I think the question is not CDs or stocks. The first question is, what is God doing in your life? How can your values inform the financial decisions you're making? And what does your current financial state look like? So let's unpack that just for a second, and then perhaps that will lead us toward the best next decision for you. So just give me kind of a rundown of where you're at in your financial life, Janet. And I'll start with, do you have any liquid savings apart from these CDs?
Yes, it's about 10,000, is it?
Okay.
My husband and I, we have a ranch, and we have almost 200 head of mama cows.
Wow.
And
that's
our stock.
Okay, that's amazing.
And
yeah. And so do you see that as your retirement, Janet? Will you all eventually sell that?
Well, we just recently did a trust for our children. Our children hopefully will be getting all of this when we pass.
Okay.
But if we can't see the future, we don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
We just have the ranch and little bit of savings. And
And what do you spend in a typical month? What do you spend roughly?
Probably about 5,000.
Okay.
I would say.
Very good. And where does your income come from? Is it just from the ranch operations?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My husband and I, we draw Social Security. I'm 63. He's 66.
Okay.
And that's all we have right now. And I've debated about going back to work, but I keep my grandkids, and I hate to give that up. I don't want them to go to a daycare.
Sure.
But if I need to, I can.
Okay.
But it's at this moment, we don't see retiring on the ranch. Usually you don't get to retire.
Yes. But, no, I certainly get that. Now, is Social Security between the two of you, how much do you have? How much do you have total coming in from Social Security between you both?
Probably about $2,500 between us both.
Okay. All right. And how much do you pull as an income from the ranch operations on a monthly basis? Just what you need?
Oh, goodness. Probably $6,000-$7,000. That's about it.
All right. And where does the rest?
It's less.
Yeah. So if you, so where do you put, I mean, it sounds like between the 2,500 and even if you just pull six, that's 8,500 a month. If your expenses are only 5,000, where's the difference going?
Right. The difference is just living expenses since neither one of us work. And of course the winter months, we spend probably $50,000 on feed and the fuel. And in the summer right now, we're baling hay.
Yeah.
We have a lot of money coming in and going out. My husband does custom hay baling.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so here's what I'm hearing is that, I mean, I love what you have built, and obviously you've got something of real value here, and I love your desire to pass that on, keep it in the family. You've got a good base of income at the $2,500. You're living modestly, but, you know, at this point, I think we need a little bit more savings, because I'd like for you to have at least 6 months' worth of savings in, you know, that's liquid and available. So I would say you certainly could do, you know, continue to do the CDs. I think with the additional funds, I'd probably just shore up that savings account for the unexpected so that you don't have to break the CD if you needed it for something that kind of comes out of left field. And the good news is on a high yield savings account, you can get 4.5% right now with FDIC insurance, and it's completely liquid. And then you could roll those CDs over. I think the bigger question is just solving for this next season of life, not knowing, you know, what the future holds, and perhaps sitting with an advisor who could help you think about how you position the assets that you have. Because if there comes a day where you guys are unable to work the ranch, you know, what is that plan? Are the kids willing to step in at that point? Do we need to think about selling it? How are you going to make up the gap between the $2,500 and the roughly $5,000 that it takes, you know, for you to, you know, fund your lifestyle? Not to mention, you know, what if you're not unable to perform kind of the duties to keep the ranch operations going? And so I think just having a plan in place, I think the CDs are great in the meantime. I'd take the rest and shore up your emergency savings in high yield savings, and you could go to bankrate.com to find the best institution for that. But apart from that, I'd recommend you connect with a certified Kingdom advisor just to work on a retirement plan. And none of us know the future, and that's not the goal. The goal is just to say, based on what we know today, how do we best position your assets to plan for the future so that, you know, you and your husband can be the stewards and kind of live into all that God has for you in this season of life. And you're already doing that, spending time with grandkids and family and each other. And that's great. Yeah, I love that. But we also want to marry that with the financial plans, you know, so that if you need to make any changes, you know kind of where you need to go next. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. So to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, Janet, there's plenty of them in Oklahoma. You just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. Again, that's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. Thanks for calling today. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. You know, folks, boy, we covered a lot of ground today. We started by talking about timeshares, and we've talked about retirement savings. We've talked about investments. We've talked about giving. And, you know, here's the big idea is that we think about how to steward what God has entrusted to us. The goal is faithfulness. It's faithfulness to opportunity. It's taking whatever God has entrusted with us or to us and living within that first and foremost. And that's where so often people get tripped up, is because consistently we as Americans live beyond our means. And that's ultimately a spiritual issue underneath that. It's a contentment issue. Are we willing to live within God's provision? Now, that doesn't mean we don't work hard and try to get, you know, improve our situation, perhaps seek a raise or get a better paying job. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying we need to just kind of rest on our laurels. What I am saying, though, is that whatever that provision is today, we need an absolute commitment to live within it. And that's a spiritual issue. And you can't do that, especially now with prices up across the board, without a plan and a method to control the flow of money in and out. And by the way, that's where the FaithFi app could be really helpful. The brand new version of it, FaithFi 4.0, just came out a few weeks ago. It's gorgeous. It's based on Larry Burkett's envelope system. It's simple to use. You can download all your transactions automatically. But here's the key, and this is what Julie and I have. At any point during the month, we can pull up the app and say, what's left in the eating out category? What's left in clothing? What's left in my daughter's clothing budget? You know, is it time to shut it down for the month, or does she have a little bit left? It's invaluable to have that information. So check it out today. You'll find it in your app store. It's called FaithFi. Again, your gifts between now and June 30th will help us close our $25,000 gap to finish out the year. Gifts of any amount are huge right now when you go to faithfi.com and click give. A big thanks to my team today, Jim, Taylor, Devin, and Autumn. Couldn't do it without them. May the Lord bless you, and I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. And until then, bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.